The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
I'm the announcer and Eric is the host. But they name the show after the host. You have no idea who I am, do you?
Well, do you?
Mommy? Papa? Do you know who I am?
Mommy?
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey folks, this is Eric Metaxas with the Eric Metaxas Show. I am right now going to air an interview I did with my friend Tom Howard about one of the best books I have ever read in my life. It's called Chance of the Dance. He wrote it. And this is my Socrates in the City conversation with the great Tom Howard at his home. Do not miss it. Welcome to another Socrates in the City event here at the home of Thomas Howard, the great author. And I'm happy to say, my dear friend, he has written many books. In part one of this Socrates in the City interview with him, we talked principally about his book, Chance or the Dance, which I could rave and rave about and typically do. In this hour, I want to talk to him about lots of other things. My conversations with him over the years have been so fascinating that I really just wanted to share some of that with my Socrates in the City audience so that you could also get a taste of Tom and of his mind and be intrigued to want to read his books. So we're here without a studio audience. You're the audience. And so hold your applause. But I do have to say that it means so much to me that Tom and his dear wife, Loveless, have let us into their home with all these cameras and microphones and things. But it's a privilege for me, and I hope you'll enjoy it nearly as much as I do. So stay tuned. Tom, let me start with this in the second part of our conversation. You know that I love you, and I can say that to you because you have an understanding of that word. My understanding of that word comes from things I've read by you and C.S. Lewis. But you know that I love you. Yes. And it's such a joy to be with you that, as I think I said before, I could almost talk to you about anything because I enjoy talking to you.
That's mutual, I have to say.
I hope that doesn't embarrass you too much. Yeah. But I really revel in you and your emails and your letters and things. And actually, maybe a good place to start would be, we were talking before about your relationship with Lewis. And I asked you whether you'd kept any of the correspondence with him. And you said you thought it was in the Wade Center at Wheaton College.
Yes.
And you were at least slightly incorrect.
Oh.
Because in the other room, I just happened to find a framed letter from C.S. Lewis to Tom Howard. I think you're the Tom Howard in the letter.
Yes.
Dear Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
Magdalen College, Cambridge. Oh, Cambridge. This was, in 1958
he was
in Cambridge.
That, yeah.
And when I read this to you earlier, you almost memorized it. I just can't believe, first of all, his handwriting. What the heck?
Amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Right?
Legible.
It's legible.
Dear Mr. Howard, oh, but believe me, you are still only paddling in the glorious sea of Tolkien. Mm. Go in for The Hobbit at once.
Go on from The Hobbit.
Go on from The Hobbit at once to The Lord of the Rings. Semicolon. Three volumes.
And nearly as long as the Bible, but not a word too long.
Parentheses. Except for the first chapter.
Which is a botch.
Yeah. Don't be put off by it. This is hilarious. Is this in Walter Hooper's volumes of... Is this letter in there?
I don't know.
I mean, the idea that... this is delicious. That Lewis is calling the first chapter of Lord of the Rings a botch.
A botch.
But he loves the rest of it as much as anything. Yeah. And then he says, The Hobbit is merely a fragment of his myth, detached and adapted for children.
And losing much by the adaptation.
Yeah. The Lord of the Rings is
the
real
stuff.
Thanks for all the nice things you say about my own
little efforts.
Yours sincerely, C.S. Lewis. This is, how much can I pay you for this? Would you take, no? What do you say? I neglected to say this in the first hour. You taught at Gordon College for a long time. So you were a professor at the college level for a long time. And I assume people know that, but many wouldn't. You taught English literature. Did you teach Tolkien?
The English syllabus, I had to follow it. And I'm not sure that I ever actually did formally get a section for Tolkien, which I would have loved.
But isn't it because when you were teaching college, maybe they wouldn't have thought of Tolkien as being worthy yet of being part of the canon?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Right? I mean, that's my guess. Maybe they even think of Lewis as being worthy of being part of the canon, even in a Christian college like Gordon.
But I think I could have made it worthy of the canon. I mean, I think they would have, you know, eaten up. If you really unpack what The Lord of the Rings is all about. You know.
Well, okay, then what is The Lord of the Rings all about? Is this where I get to admit that I've not read it?
Yes, but you can still get into heaven, possibly.
I've read Chances of the Dance many times.
Just
so
by
I
being
think
Eric,
it's,
yeah.
It's, but what is the fascinating... I mean, there are many people that rave and rave about Tolkien, and there are many people that are unaware of Tolkien. Yeah. I've heard people rave about him. I feel like I know lots about him. Yeah. I know that he was instrumental in leading C.S. Lewis to faith in Jesus, which is an outrageous, an amazing thing.
Yeah.
But what is it about Tolkien for you?
Well, I think he does an almost incredible job, piece of work, by opening out for us deprived, benighted moderns, opening out the world of myth, of saga, of the ancient glory of narrative. I think that's what, you know, his work is, I would suspect, is unique in the modern epoch.
Yeah. I am struck, very struck, by reading this letter, the way Lewis writes about The Lord of the Rings. I confess that I wasn't aware of his admiration for it at that level.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about Tolkien that Lewis so loved and admired?
I think it's a tribute to Tolkien's own capacity of soul to see and love magnificence which one is drawn into in the saga of The Lord of the Rings.
Do you remember when you read the so-called space trilogy, when you read those books?
You mean Lewis's
Out of the Silent Planet, Perelandra, and That Hideous Strength?
Yeah. It must have been while I was still in school. I'm not sure whether I had gone on to college by that time. I was a slow starter.
Yeah. I often think that Perelandra is maybe Lewis's best book. I've never heard anyone share my opinion, but I think that well of it.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you. I mean, it's a terribly hard choice. You know, what's Lewis's best work?
Right. Well, there are passages toward the end of Perelandra which are just flights of
luminous,
beautiful language like I've never read. I mean, people rave about Gabriel Garcia Marquez, or, you know, I've never read anything better than some of the passages there. But even the idea behind Perelandra, I mean, I think of it as, I assume you taught Milton over the years.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I think of Perelandra as his response to Paradise Lost, and it ought to be taught in classes.
In tandem with that, That's a great idea. Next time I teach it in another life, that would be a perfect duo.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing. All you have to do is read his preface to Paradise Lost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's and then you read Perelandra, and you can't even...
Yeah.
But it's so great.
Yeah. Yeah. Hear, hear.
I think the other two books... I don't want to say pale by comparison, but I really think it stands...
Out of the Silent Planet and That Hideous Strength.
Yeah, That Hideous Strength almost doesn't belong in the trilogy. It's a weird thing that
you suddenly brought down to meat and potatoes, sort of in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Folks, you've been listening to my Socrates in the City interview with the great Thomas Howard, the author of Chance or the Dance. I hope you'll keep listening.
Make like a Mr. Mumbles and you're a zero. Make like a Mr. Big, they dig a hero. You've got to sound your A the day you're born. I tell you, chum, it's time to come.
Hey, Albin.
Yes, Eric?
Would you consider yourself a Valentine's Day pro?
I'm still married, so I'm doing something right.
Well, you and I know that no Valentine's Day is complete without flowers. And this year, you can order like a pro with Pro Flowers. They make it easy to find the perfect bouquet at the perfect price with 7-day freshness guaranteed.
And in this cold weather, fresh flowers are not easy to come by.
That's correct. They're freshly cut, carefully packaged, and express delivered, so their flowers arrive in perfect condition. So let the pros at Pro Flowers handle the details and send your Valentine something you know they'll love.
I'll get on that right away.
Well, that's good, because today is the last day you can get one dozen red roses with a free glass vase for $24.99 plus shipping and handling. So visit proflowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter promo code Metaxas to choose the perfect roses at the perfect price. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone. Enter the code Metaxas. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, so order today. Let me say it again, Albin.
Mm.
Proflowers.com. Click on the microphone. Enter the code Metaxas.
Beautiful.
Hi, Michelle Malkin here. One of the biggest outrages I reported on was the trial of abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell.
Healthy woman goes into a clinic, comes out dead, and there's no police report?
I helped expose the crimes the mainstream media tried to cover up.
We had instructions not to inspect abortion clinics.
The Gosnell movie is amazing.
Kermit Gosnell is perhaps the most prolific serial killer in American history.
Bring friends and family. You do not want to pass up this unique opportunity to change hearts and minds about abortion.
Gosnell, rated PG-13, now playing.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My husband and I wanted to buy a new car, and we don't have very good credit rating, so the bank recommended Trinity, so we called them. And the people were very nice. They told us the best solution for our problems.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
Trinity consolidated our bills, got us a lower interest rate, and a much better monthly payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
We feel much better now. Things are going pretty well. And since we've been with Trinity, our credit rating has really improved.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Ann, and we're debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
When I look back, I'm amazed at how long I kept all my troubles bottled up inside. I couldn't get to sleep because it was all I could think about when my head hit the pillow. I was losing sleep, slipping into depression, withdrawing from everyone around me. I had no energy or drive. I was losing myself. I was at my lowest point when I heard about Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who helped me work through my issue. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready, by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Turn now to a special Eric Metaxas radio show, Socrates in the City presentation of my interview with Thomas Howard about his book, Chance or the Dance. Have a listen.
What do you think of Lewis's idea that the word space for outer space is the wrong word?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him talking about that?
Yes, and I can't remember the exact passage, but I think his point there was space to a modern reader means emptiness, you know, uncharted emptiness, vacuity,
right,
almost. Whereas in the ancient, and I think Lewis and Tolkien and everybody would say the real meaning of space, it's the wrong noun for the world,
the heavens.
The heavens that is bespoken in those works. Space would be the wrong one, you know. They all spoke of getting in, not out into space, but in, getting in. We're the outsiders, you know.
Well, it's probably the first space journey from out of the silent planet where he goes to Mars, where he's remarking on what he sees outside the space capsule, and it's the opposite of empty space.
Yeah. It's glory.
It's glory.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a medieval idea, right? When you think of the medieval, you know the Michael Ward book, Planet Narnia.
I actually haven't read it.
Tom, it is. But I mean, it's this idea, basically.
Okay.
It's this idea that Lewis thought with this medieval mind. And he thought of the seven medieval planets.
Yeah.
And it suffused everything that he wrote.
It did.
And that's... So you pick up a little bit of that in the space trilogy when he's writing about what we call outer space.
It's
you're entering these realms.
I think it's because he loved that. His being, his bosom, his soul loved that dimension, that opening out onto real dimensions. You know, just the sheer, I was going to say size, but I think it's the glory of it, not just mere size, but... You're drawn into the meaning of the word glory.
The weight of glory. Do you remember anything about Lewis's idea of glory when he talks about glory?
Oh yeah.
What does he mean? I mean the weight of glory.
Yeah. I think when he says that, you know, it's. I was going to say he chose the word weight. But I wonder whether he even chose it. It named the thing that he understood and knew. You know, the weight of glory. It's not vaporous. It's not cloudy and thinly drawn and so on. It's something more, heavier, more solid than our notion of space or light or something.
Well, he gets at that in The Great Divorce, right?
Yeah,
in other words, this idea that...
the weight of glory.
These are the Shadowlands, and that the more real something is, the more mass it has, the heavier it is.
Yeah,
so you get that picture of people that can't walk on the grass.
Yeah, because it's...
Where did Lewis get that idea from? I don't know that I've ever seen it anywhere else. It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. I think he got it because of his own perspicacity. I mean, in reading that stuff, I'm sure his brilliant capacity, intellectual and spiritual, you might say, was turned on by that. I mean, he realized this is the real stuff, and the word for it isn't just outer space or something, mm-hmm. because that's a thin picture. You know, that's a picture of thinness. Whereas he wanted to continue that more ancient idea of this is where substance is. We live in a thinly drawn state of affairs. We hardly see. He even uses the word knobbly one time when he's trying to speak of reality. It's not vaporous. It's not cloudy. It's not misty. It's solid and nubbly.
If you talk about Lewis having a medieval Christian worldview, which is what you write about in your book, Chants of the Dance, it seems inescapably somehow Catholic. It's pre-Reformation.
No question.
Tell us about that. Since you, at some point, swam the old Tiber, do you see that as a reconciliation in a way to these ideas that the evangelicals kind of thin things back out? Somebody the other day said to me that the word was made flesh, but sometimes we make it back into words.
The
one thing that Lewis captures and you captures is that incarnational aspect.
I mean, Mary certainly didn't give birth to a ghost or an idea. You know, she certainly would have had a unique take on what incarnation means. I mean, the word became flesh. I mean, of all inglorious things, you know, flesh and blood and meat and vomit and all the rest of that. You know, that's worth pondering. When God wanted to be known, he became an infant with dirty diapers and the whole nine yards,
It's hard to want. I mean, it's tempting to want to spiritualize it back into some Platonic form or something.
That's
like
Manichaeanism. That's afraid of the flesh and the gook that goes along with it. You know,
I guess I would argue, having written a biography of Luther, that in a way Luther was trying to pull the church back to an incarnational view of things. And this, I'm not here to debate the Reformation, but I think that he saw something that had begun to be lost because of the focus on Aristotle and some of that kind
of
thing.
That's interesting. I think you're dead right. I mean,
wow.
No,
I was expecting a hard, horrible argument.
No way. I'm on your side.
You taught T.S. Eliot over the years. Yeah. I don't mean you taught him as a student. You taught his work, obviously. Yes. Your book on the four quartets is called Dove Descending, and I found Dove Descending about the four quartets much more interesting than the four quartets.
I was going to say, I know what you're going to say.
help me with this.
Well, I mean, I would have to demur because I would say, but truly to enter into the substance of four quartets, you know, that's the reality of it. That's the weight. And the best I could do was like literary criticism. You're just talking about something. If you want to talk about marriage, you can say, well, it's this, 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 and this, you know, all these characteristics of marriage. But you have to talk to a person who is married, who has been married, who has entered into what is contained in that word, what that draws us into.
The only problem is, and I'm not here to put down T.S. Eliot, but your writing about the four quartets is great writing. I mean, you could make the same argument and you could have been incredibly abstruse and unreadable and say, well, then someone can write a book about my book. But the difficulty of the four quartets, which Eliot wrote, of course, after he had converted to Christianity, strikes me as unnecessarily off-putting. In other words, a lot of more modern literature and art I think revels in being off-putting. Look, we know he already did that in The Wasteland. He's, you know, he's writing footnotes to his own poem. And don't you find that at least somehow partaking of a modern idea that's at war with some of the things that we're talking about?
Very much so. And I, you know, I don't know exactly where Eliot's imagination was at that point in his biography, but of course he became Catholic, either Anglican or Roman. I can't remember which it was, but you know, someone who sees it almost has to. He would feel a little little constrained by what one might call mere Protestantism and so on. I mean. I could just leave it at that.
Well, theologically, I'm saying that his writing, to my mind, and I'm very happy to be wrong, but it doesn't seem to reflect that. In other words, when you read the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, it's loaded with beautiful images and language that you want to revel in.
Yeah, very much so.
The Four Quartets is almost the opposite of that. It seems so abstract. If it weren't for your book about it, I don't know that I would ever have even tried to read the Four Quartets past the first couple of pages.
Well, they're not the first couple of lines for that matter.
Yeah.
This is my Socrates in the City conversation with the great Tom Howard at his home. Do not miss it.
Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. Seen lonely times when I could not find a friend.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. It is finally over, and it was a brutal 6 hours into the Senate Judiciary Committee's questioning of Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker, who was there voluntarily. He's remained calm, but Democrats continue asking the same question with a focus on his knowledge of the special counsel's Russia investigation. He insisted he has not interfered in any way in Mueller's investigation in the few months since he's taken over to fill in after Jeff Sessions, nor can he comment on any of it. Whitaker is only technically in the position for another week or so. AG nominee Bill Barr is expected to be voted on in the Senate next week. Chief Justice John Roberts broke with the Supreme Court's other conservative justices and his own voting record on abortion to block a Louisiana law requiring abortion providers to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital, a clear sign of the role Roberts intends to play as he guides a more conservative court with two new members appointed by President Trump. In the Dow, down 143. This is SRN News.
Vision data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word MAN to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text MAN to 797979. Text MAN to 797979.
When I look back, I'm amazed at how long I kept all my troubles bottled up inside. I couldn't get to sleep because it was all I could think about when my head hit the pillow. I was losing sleep, slipping into depression, withdrawing from everyone around me. I had no energy or drive. I was losing myself. I was at my lowest point when I heard about Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who helped me work through my issue. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Folks, you're listening to a special edition of the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. I am interviewing my friend, Thomas Howard, about his book, Chance of the Dance. This was a Socrates in the City event we did, and we're airing it on today's program. Do not miss it.
At what point did it occur to you, let's just start with joining, let's say, the Church of England, the Episcopal Church in America.
Yeah.
To go from being a low church fundamentalist evangelical,
right. Protestant, whose
father was the editor of the Sunday
School Times,
and so on and so forth, and whose sister is the famous Elizabeth Elliot, and to say I want to join a more sacramental church,
yeah.
Did you count the cost? Was that difficult for you at the time?
That's a very good question. I think I counted the cost, but I didn't know how much the cost was going to cost.
I'm guessing the cost you jumped over two broomsticks, so to speak, right? First, you become an Episcopalian,
yeah,
and then at some point,
yeah.
you become a Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
How many years, roughly, was that journey? I mean,
it would have been a few years, maybe, I don't know, whether it was 10 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah. Did it cause a stir when you became an Episcopalian first?
No, I don't think so, because a lot of people do that. I mean, Lewis was an Anglican, and, you know, everybody good was Episcopalian or Anglican, people who were safe.
Right.
But Rome, I mean, golly, no. Give me a break.
Right. Whenever I would hang out with somebody like Walter Hooper or, you know, so many people have said, and Walter Hooper is, of course, convinced, he says that, Lewis, had he lived, of course, would have become a Roman Catholic. And I retorted, Flannery O'Connor, had she lived, would have become a Pentecostal evangelical. That was a joke.
Yeah,
but the point is that you can never really know what people are going to do. But what do you think of that idea that Lewis was on his way to Rome? We know that Walter Hooper, like you and many other people I admire, became at some point converted to Roman Catholicism. But what do you think of the idea that Lewis might have done that?
I think there's a lot of substance in it, but I think in nuts and bolts, feet on the ground reality, I don't think Lewis would have jumped the Tiber because I just don't think it was that's not where his being was. He might have in a theoretical discussion or an ecclesiological quarrel or something,
right.
He might have granted a certain number of points, blah, blah, blah.
Many Catholics love Lewis, and they sort of treat him as an honorary member of the club. Similarly, Lewis touches on certain ideas. I mean, he doesn't really get into the theology on the nose, but he suggests in books like The Great Divorce and some other books, some of the Narnia stuff, that he did write about it, but about the idea of purgatory. I mean, he's willing to grant some things that suggest he was open to Roman Catholic theology.
Yeah, certainly. Just, to the whole Catholic vision of reality.
Yeah. Purgatory becomes confusing to Protestants and evangelicals. What do you say to somebody who says, I don't get it?
They don't get it because they haven't thought about it. It's a heresy, so it's something that papists made up out of whole cloth.
Okay, if that's not the case, what is the case for it?
Well, it depends on what picture one has of it. I mean, what do we know about the flowering, the coming to fruit and so on, like of what needs to be done in me before I'm ready for purity and bliss and so on, what the meaning of paradise. You know, I don't think purgatory is God wrapping me over the knuckles with a celestial ruler to make me shape up. It's drawing and leading and enabling me to go through the calisthenics that will make me capable of exulting in glory, exulting in the precincts of perfection. How the heaven do I get there? Yeah. You know, and the state I'm in right now, kind of flaccid and floppy and weak and so on. I ain't ready for that. I mean, I got to do some grunting and sweating. And that's not the idea of earning heaven. I think it's entering into the truth and the reality
if it's a response to grace. In other words, if I do work in response to grace, in gratitude for the opportunity, in a sense, that's very different from trying to earn it.
Yes, of course. I mean, grace doesn't say, I'll do it over here. You can stay on your chaise longue with your mint julep under the palm trees. You know, I'll do it over here.
Right.
No, we're drawn into that which is, which will make me lithe and supple and strong and so forth. And to get from being, you know, pudgy and flaccid and weak and so on, it does take some grunting and sweating, and I'm not earning. You know, that isn't making me earn heaven or something.
Right.
It's fitting me for the joy that I would give my gizzard to reach.
Right. Well,
I think. I mean,
no. I think you're right. This is heavy stuff, which is appropriate. This is Socrates in the City. We're supposed to be talking about heavy stuff,
folks. You're listening to a special edition of the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. I am interviewing Thomas Howard about his book, Chance of the Dance. This was a Socrates in the City event we did, and we're airing it on today's program. Do not miss it. Albin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is—it's very inexpensive. It's drug-free. It's safe, and within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people, so check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com. Hey, Albin.
What?
Valentine's Day is right around the corner. How do you celebrate?
Well, for the longest time, I've been planning to procrastinate, you know, and buy old candy at the pharmacy the day after.
Planning to procrastinate? Okay. You know what tastes better than old candy?
Actually, I don't.
Sherry's Berries.
Oh,
you can
yes.
never go wrong with their signature-dipped Valentine's strawberries. They're always fresh, always tasty, and the perfect companion to a candlelit dinner, bouquet of flowers, or a night on the town.
Come to think of it, my wife does like fresh berries and chocolate.
Of course, and they always arrive fresh with 100% Sherry's Berries guarantee. Send her the Valentine's gift of her dreams at the price of your dreams, starting at just $19.99 plus shipping and handling.
That's a very good deal.
Ouch. Mm. Okay, plus if you order now, you can make the Valentine's really special by adding a dozen red roses for just $19.99 more, shipped with your Sherry's Berries at no extra charge. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and enter my code Metaxas at checkout. That's BERRIES.com. Click on the microphone and enter code Metaxas. Order today.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know MyPillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, he, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, right now is the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a four-pack offer that includes two premium MyPillows with two go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or call 800-978-3057. Do it now. To a special Eric Metaxas radio show, Socrates in the City presentation of my interview with Thomas Howard about his book, Chance or the Dance. Have a listen.
Bonhoeffer talks about, you know, cheap grace. Famously, he talks about this idea that you can misapprehend the idea of grace and treat it as though it's nothing, when in fact it costs the blood of God, the death of God, so that we could have this grace. And so the point he seems to be making is that if you do not respond in an exulting way, filled with gratitude, to do anything you can to be closer to this God who has done this for you, then clearly you're not even aware that he's done it for you, which is to say you have not apprehended the grace. And so the grace is not yours, because to apprehend it is naturally to have to respond, to want to feed the poor and to help people and to serve God. Yeah. In other words, to want to make God happy by blessing his creatures. Yeah. And so again, it's kind of a conundrum, the idea of grace, but it gets closer to what you're saying.
Yeah. Grace isn't... I mean, the usual, maybe the rather easy off-the-cuff notion of grace, it's, you mean I get a freebie? Yippee. Well, in one sense, profoundly, it is a freebie. You can't make it yourself. However, there's going to be blood, sweat, and tears, if you will. There may be en route to there. I mean, crossing the desert or rowing your way across the North Sea, whatever metaphor you want. It's not going to be, easy. However, it's going to be exactly analogous to athletic training or anything like that. You know, you're not going to be able to run the 100-yard dash in nothing flat without some sweat and some grunting back here on the afternoons of, practice.
Since I saw a photo in the other room earlier of you with Malcolm Muggeridge. Was he in this house or in your other house? But you spent time with him.
Yeah, he spent time with us. I guess he stayed with us for a while.
He
so
stayed.
Wasn't
you,
in this house.
He stayed with you for a while. A lot of people won't know who he is. And of course, a lot of people will say, wow, you spent time with Malcolm Muggeridge. Yeah. Muggeridge is a particularly interesting character. Do you remember how you came to know him? Or can you tell our audience who he was?
If Lovelace were here, she'd go on backstage. He was a journalist.
Yeah, it doesn't do him justice.
No,
right?
he was a figure during the 20th century. He was British.
A celebrated journalist, a celebrated man of letters.
Yes,
we can say that.
Celebrated man of letters. Funny. I was going to say funny as hell, but funny as heaven. I mean, he
didn't
he
edit Punch?
He probably was the editor of Punch for a while.
If he wasn't,
something was wrong. But I suspect he was.
Yeah,
probably. And when he spent days or weeks with we spent the whole time laughing.
And that was after, obviously after he'd become a Christian and after he'd become a Catholic.
Probably. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we knew him before he was a believer.
Yeah. It was big news when Malcolm Muggeridge became a Christian. I think
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some people know him because he's the man who introduced the world to a tiny Albanian nun called Mother Teresa. We wouldn't know about Mother Teresa if not for Malcolm Muggeridge, who made that film about her.
Right.
Something Beautiful for God is the title.
But
Muggeridge was a man of letters.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what it was, maybe you remember, that led him to faith.
You know, the trajectory of my flight toward faith or something, what is it? I can't give you a day-by-day sequence of it, because it was all of grace, you might say, although that wouldn't have been his language. But I know that from talking to him, he was hesitant about what God used to finally bundle him along toward real understanding of Christianity and the faith and so on.
That can become a problem. I mean, that has been a problem, I would say, for, let's say, evangelical Christians, is that they come up with a paradigm. The Puritans, Jonathan Edwards and company, were famous for this, that they would have to have your story of conversion, and they set an incredibly high bar, unless you had this conversion story. And so people feel that almost like they have to make one up if they don't have one, you know? And so when people ask, people like Muggeridge or myself, so when did you become a Christian?
Yeah.
If it doesn't fit a perfect kind of, you know, the sawdust trail experience,
exactly,
people don't know what to make of it. But your experience, I mean, you grew up as a Christian. There's no question.
Yeah, right.
Was there a moment at age five that you remember or no?
No. But just to make sure, as a little kid, I probably 1,000 times asked Jesus to come into my heart just in case. And just to be sure, you know.
Right. And were you baptized as a child?
Yes, because we were Episcopalians. I mean, evangelical Episcopalians. But
you were.
I was baptized as an infant, sprinkled.
But I didn't know that your father was an Episcopalian. I thought that you had become an Episcopalian.
I had myself, but technically, no. But when I was small, when they were first married, they went to the Reformed Episcopal Church in Philadelphia. What was the name of it? The Church of the Atonement.
But they sort of moved away from that into more fundamentalism and evangelicalism?
Well, their eventual locale or, you know, was American fundamentalism and so on. But neither my mother had been raised an Episcopalian and my father had been raised a Presbyterian. And they were, but they both had an evangelical story, you might say, you know, to tell of really coming to understand the faith and receiving Jesus as Savior and so on.
Yeah. Well, but for some people, it's just much more complicated and it's a process.
Yes.
Folks, you've been listening to my Socrates in the City interview with the great Thomas Howard, the author of Chance or the Dance. I hope you'll keep listening.
Michelle Malkin here. One of the biggest outrages I reported on was the trial of abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell.
Healthy woman goes into a clinic, comes out dead, and there's no police report?
I helped expose the crimes the mainstream media tried to cover up.
We had instructions not to inspect abortion clinics.
The Gosnell movie is amazing.
Kermit Gosnell is perhaps the most prolific serial killer in American history.
Bring friends and family. You do not want to pass up this unique opportunity to change hearts and minds about abortion.
Gosnell, rated PG-13, now playing.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Ask your doctor to send your prescription to GoGoMeds.com. Once you fill in your information, it's in the system and your prescription is delivered. It's just that easy. Go to GoGoMeds.com and use the promo code MIKE2018 and save $10 on your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, and the promo code MIKE2018 gets you $10 off your first prescription.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. It is over. It was a brutal 6 hours in the Senate Judiciary Committee's questioning of Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker. He remained fairly calm as Democrats hammered him with the same questions with a focus on his knowledge of the special counsel's Russia investigation. He insists he has not interfered in any way in Mueller's investigation since he's taken over after Jeff Sessions, nor can he comment on any ongoing investigation. The body of 24-year-old Valerie Reyes of New Rochelle, New York, found in a wooded area this week, reported missing last week after she failed to show up for work. Now, a Town Public's works employee in Greenwich, Connecticut, was placed on leave after officials say the worker took photos of Reyes's body found in a suitcase. A judge ordering an April 9th election to redo voting for a Georgia legislative seat after two prior elections got thrown out twice because ballots were cast illegally. For more details, visit srnnews.com.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 5th year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Socrates in the City conversation with the great Tom Howard at his home. Do not miss it.
I guess I have to ask you, in the last 20 or so years, the Catholic Church has had some terrible struggles. You're familiar with what I'm talking about. And even now, with Pope Francis, many people are confused in a way at some of the things he says.
Yeah, I mean, popes are not infallible.
A lot of people are under the misimpression that Catholics believe popes are infallible.
No. I mean, it's only in the very rare occasion, probably a lot of popes never have, but, you know, made a solemn promulgation of a dogmatic point or something.
When they're speaking ex cathedra.
Ex cathedra, yes.
Cathedra.
Yeah.
Cathedra?
Yeah, but I think most people say cathedra now just because it looks... Yeah, no, that's good.
I will defer to you, sir.
Well, whatever.
If I'm going to say it, I might as well get it right.
Because the only time the Church would believe that the Pope of Rome would be freed from error or defended from error would be on the rare occasions, probably many popes never have, solemnly, quote, promulgated a dogma.
Right.
If he said, you know, that dog is a hound dog and you know that it's a Yorkie,
right,
the guy's wrong.
Right.
But I thought he was a Catholic. That means he, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think so many people have a deep misunderstanding of that idea.
Oh, yeah. Yes, very much so.
I just know that my very serious Catholic friends are now troubled by the current pope and some of the things that he says.
And it would be only on an extremely rare occasions when a pope, and probably lots of popes never have, quotes, solemnly promulgated a dogma,
right,
which is to be believed,
right,
by Christians. Then at that point, the belief is that God will protect the apostolic see from error.
Right.
Yeah. So that is something, the belief would be that the Catholic Church, the Church Catholic, will never, before the Second Coming, fall into error, serious error and so on. It can, you know, they might say that give the wrong number of miles to the sun or, you know, so forth and so forth.
Right.
But when it comes to solemn promulgating dogma, that's the only rare occasion.
Right.
When the apostolic see would be.
Well, I always want to clarify that because people misunderstand
it's very rare.
Well, yeah. I just think, you know, there's so many people that are, they show up, they're in the pews, but they're missing out. And I think that your book on being Catholic, it's so beautiful that, you know, and I don't want to say that it tempts me to want to become a Catholic, but what it does is it helps me understand that, you know, the beauty of God is the beauty of God and the truth of God is the truth of God.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a pity when we say, well, that's for you and this is for us. And I'd like to think that, you know, your work has given me an appreciation of the sacramental that nothing else I've ever read has done.
Hmm.
So maybe we can end with my thanking you for that.
Well, good heavens. You've contributed a lot to my growth in soul and spirit.
Well, I'm sure that's not true, but thank you for making me feel good about myself.
No.
Folks, thanks for tuning in to Socrates in the City. Tom, as I said earlier, I love you, and I'm just so grateful for you giving me this time.
It's beautiful. Great Scott. Absolutely.
Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.